Welcome to the Fandemic Presents, Prevenge of the Nerds. We are your one-stop podcast. Every week, we are going to give you all the things to level up your awesome. Also, you can order my kids' book, Leveling Up My Awesome, on Amazon for $7.99, or contact me for autographed copies for just a little bit more. For starters, we will give you our war report. That's right, the what's awesome report for the week. With all the who's it's and what's it's, if it's awesome, you know we got to talk about it. Once we're done that, then we're going to go into our prevenge part of the show and tell you the stories that could have led to your favorite movies, TV shows, and so much more. I can't talk today. It might be a list. It might be a pitch. One thing is for sure, your awesome will be leveled due to this. Then we're going to get into a little bit of verse mode. This is where Brian and I are going to take a character, movie, game, or something else, and we discuss whose is better. Then we're going to ask our listeners for their input during and after the show and go over the findings next week, if we don't forget. I'm Bradley Buchanan, and this is my co-host,
Brian S. Dennis, with an S stands for cousins.
All right. Welcome to the Fandemic. We are now streaming live on the Facebookers. That didn't work. The Facebook bookers. Facebook keys.
That sounds like someone who have like a month subscription and, you know, you need a test afterwards. I don't think we're going to go with Facebookers.
Yeah. Good point. YouTube and Twitch, I'll work on that.
Facebook is not something you do when you don't have enough money for your tuition. So we will not quite cover with the Facebookers.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, Facebookers, you know?
Yeah. All right. Sure. And here at Prevenge of the Nerds, we are always PG-13 adjacent.
Yes. Sometimes we get a little out of hand. We will go in many sidetracks, so it's hard sometimes.
We are always the Addams family friendly. There you go.
I like it. Did you see that trailer?
Yes.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
Yes.
Although I will say I am more excited for Rob Zombie's Monsters than I am for the Wednesday show.
I'll give you that, because Rob Zombie just brings, I mean, he's such a big fan of everything he does. Yeah. That bleeds into whatever he makes. I'll give you that one, absolutely.
No, but first,
I have a first one for you.
Oh, you, looks like Christmas.
Because you brought it up.
All right.
The Munsters have a very special place, and the original Munsters have a very special place in television history. Do you, Bradley Buten, know what the Munsters did before any other television show in history?
Was it either the First Kiss or the male and female in the same bed?
Male and female in the same bed, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, the Brady Bunch actually filmed the scene first, because there's a debate between the Brady Bunch or the Munsters. The Brady Bunch filmed the scene first, but the Munsters episode was broadcast first. So the Munsters' whole place in that, to which there's a there was some television show behind the scenes on VH1, I believe, that had Florence Henderson talking about it and her calling Lily Munster a little bit of a S-word because she beat her television history, which I think that is great. But of course, come on now, you know Herman and Lily were getting it in, right? So there we
absolutely,
go.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Has there ever been a crossover between Addams Family and Munsters?
I don't think so, but you kind of want there to be, because you just know Grandpa is not letting Morticia out of his sight. So that's happening. That's happening.
You know, that might make a good prevenge episode. I think we should probably put our thinking hats on that one.
Perfect. Could you imagine Cousin It with alopecia, though? Wait, Will Smith. Will. Just a joke. By the way, if I'd have been Chris Rock, I'd have tagged you back. All right, now let's go for it.
Brian.
Yes,
something
sir.
Something is kind of bugging me about the Sandman.
Okay.
In one of the episodes, we see a little boy grab his Superman and Batman toys. Now, yes. Do you think that this is because there is a Batman and Superman active in that world, and that's just their merch? Or are Batman and Supes comics, and in the world, much like it is in ours, DC Comics.
I think Batman and Superman exist in a dream world, and all those things intertwine with dreams existence. So similar, I'm going to jump to the other universe because that's what we do. Kind of like in the MCU, they talk about everything you dream is really happening. It's happening in one of the other places, multiverse. Everything that I think dream perceives is in some way, some shape, a dream that someone's having.
I will co-sign that. That is awesome.
And as always, dream is known as the cure. With good skin.
Absolutely. And that should have been the name of the episode last week, in which I will be releasing. Apparently, somehow, maybe I screwed up. We'll just go with I screwed up and put the wrong thing, and put out the wrong thing again. However, we'll get that up tomorrow.
You know what? That's what we do at Prevented Nerd. We put out things, and sometimes they're the wrong thing.
Right. And that is only if you're listening audio. If you were watching the live stream, oh, hey, we got a comment already. Hey, what do we got here? Hey, Darren. What is going on, sir? Hope you're doing good. Thanks for checking us out.
And what would you be doing if you weren't listening to us live? I mean, it's not like there's some show about dragons and albino people that's going to be out here shortly. I mean, come on now. What better part to watch two of the cutest beards you will ever see on YouTube going live at it? Yes, sir. All right. You know, by the way, for the fans out there, I'm a little scruffy. I'll be cleaned up for next week. But, you know, we should you know, see whose beard is usually wins. You know, Brad's going more to Chris Stapleton. I'm going more Wakanda Forever. But just see, you know, who you're digging. You know, that's what we want to hear. That's what we want to hear. Whose beard? If you had to have one beard nuzzled up against you, which one would you be? And you know what, Darren? I'm coming for you. There. So,
you know, I'm actually going to go get mine trimmed. Mine's actually, it's at that length that I just wanted it just a little bit shorter. So I think I'll be getting a beard trim in the very near future.
I say you go full ZZ Top, like not stop. Let's keep it going.
Man, I don't know if my wife will put up with that. I don't know, man. I don't know if I have the patience for it, but.
I mean, until you can twirl a guitar around it, you're not fully there yet.
Right. You know, and, you know, I've always wanted a handlebar mustache. I think okay. I can pull it off.
Oh, yeah.
I really do. However, when the mustache starts to get long and I can start, like, and it like curls underneath the lip, it starts driving me nuts, right?
I got you there.
Yeah.
But, you know, you want a handlebar mustache to look more devious, not comical. Like, we don't want to call you Smiley Whiplash. Did you like that reference? Okay. All right, I'm here all night, folks. All right, let's do this, sir. Let's jump to our war report.
Awesome. All right, so we're going to do this a little bit different, and we're going to do this in sections that way we can get a little bit more talking involved. We're going to start off with what's awesome in streaming. So Netflix, Disney, Hulu, Prime, Paramount, HBO, all of the above. Oh, hello there. There's a kid. Are you wearing pants? You're probably not wearing. Are you wearing pants, Leah? Nope.
No.
Okay. Well, we're streaming, so keep your shirt tucked down there, kid. Okay. All right. What's that, Brian?
Hi, Princess.
You forgot to get apple juice.
I did get apple juice. It is.
Wait, by you
the,
did?
Yeah, it's by the all the fruit and stuff.
You got apple juice?
Brian, did you get apple juice?
I got it. I had apple juice earlier, actually.
Apple juice.
Okay. All right, say bye.
Bye.
First off, I love that right now, as you stream, is when she needs to bring up, you forgot the apple juice.
And yeah. Go look by the toaster, kid.
Your daughter loves some apple juice.
Yeah, she wants smoothies. She wants to make a smoothie.
Okay,
Yeah.
All right, again, subject for a future show. I'm a believer that if you're going to do a smoothie, you got to start it with orange juice. There are some apple juice folks out there, too. But to me, you can't start a smoothie unless you start it with orange juice.
Yeah. You know, I've actually never had a smoothie with orange juice before. I've always used apple juice.
What? All right, man. I'm telling you, it'll change your life.
Or tequila.
I mean, I was going to say whiskey, but tequila definitely will work. It will. will definitely work.
Right. Tequila lime juice and a couple other things usually is a...
Rum chata is a great thing to put in a smoothie. You've never had rum chata. It is fantastic.
I have not. I do want to start getting a little bit of an alcohol cabinet.
Okay. So. Just real quick on rum chata before we will report this a little bit more. Do you like Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
Yeah.
Imagine that with some alcohol in it and you have rum chata.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean... That's the biggest. And by the way, the makers of Ranchada, you're welcome. All right. So.
Yep. Sponsor an episode. We would love it.
No, we know you're listening.
Yes, or sir. Just send us some free Ranchada. I mean, yeah, we'll talk about it.
A bottle of Ranchada, I'd be perfectly fine with that. I would be perfectly okay with that. All right, sir.
All right. Let's talk about what's streaming. I think let's talk about the big one right away.
All right, so the big one in the streaming world for me and for Brandon, for most of us nerds out here, is going to be She-Hulk, the story of Jennifer Walters, who proves that it just ain't easy being green.
Right? A way better green, Jolly Green Giant, for sure.
You know, she would be, you know, you wonder if She-Hulk saw the Jolly Green Giant, she's swiping left or right.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think that's going down?
You know, I think she's going to go left. I really do. I mean, he's a big guy. He's green as well. Is he a Hulk?
I mean, but he's jolly, though. So, you know.
An anti-Hulk?
I mean, maybe. I mean, like. If you put, like, the Jolly Green Giant in there with Abomination, now who's winning? You know, that's the really thing right there.
I mean, at least Vegetables are going to be getting eight.
But that toga's a little snug there. Like, you didn't want to be under the Jolly Green Giant he's walking. Like, that's right. Not a good look.
Yeah. Let's hear some comments. Let's find out, is or should the Jolly Green Giant, I know talk good, a Jolly Green Giant be a Hulk? And do you think the Jolly Green Giant and She-Hulk would like each other? Okay. Yes, this is just how we do it.
Yeah. Never mind. I was going to a real appropriate place right there, but we'll keep it pushing. Yes, sir. So we saw the first episode of She-Hulk, which again, it stayed fairly true to the origin story. For those of you who are uninitiated with She-Hulk, as a shocker, again, back to what my name S replies, Jennifer Walters is cousins with our buddy Bruce Banner. And if you don't know Bruce Banner, you shouldn't be listening to this show. So Bruce Banner, a.k.a.
True
the
story.
Hulk. I'm sorry?
True story.
True story, yeah. Sir. So, like good cousins, they spend time with each other. They get to each other idiosyncrasies, such as, you know, which way they like to roll the toilet paper, which way you fold the towels. Mm-hmm. And, of course, when cousin Bruce gets angry, he becomes a large, green, roided-up rage monster, which is always fun. R.I.P. to Tony Stark. So with that being said, we get to see those two interact, and she gets exposed to Bruce's blood, which gives us a lot of fun and shenanigans for the rest of the series. But what do we see, Bradley, before the accident which creates the exposure? We got a glimpse of something from another planet, didn't we?
Yes, we had a Star Cruiser, and it escapes me where it was from, actually.
The planet Sakaar.
Sakaar,
yep. So if you saw Thor Ragnarok, that is a place that Jeff Goldblum, and again, remember, Jeff Goldblum makes everything better.
Yeah, this has been a topic of many of our podcasts.
Yes, yes. So the only one who may make a planet better than Jeff Goldblum is the one and the only Samuel Jackson, where the L stands for. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, we get a space cruiser from Sakaar. We're not sure what that is about. I'm sure we get a revisiting, maybe hedging for some secret invasion, some secret wars. You never know.
Yeah.
But we get the accident that exposes Jennifer to Bruce's blood and all the fun that happens from there. So again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is a good time to revisit your blood-borne pathogen protocols. Because if you have a cousin with radioactive blood, you really don't want to get that on you. Just saying, you really don't want to get that on it. That's a safety tip from Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, dude, I really dug She-Hulk, man. It was true to the comics.
Yep.
And I'm not a super huge fan of Hulk, this version of the Hulk. I don't like Smart Hulk. I like my Hulk.
Smart Hulk, similar to Gray Hulk, are better in small doses. We like the Hulk that's raging because at this point it's almost Superman-esque. Like, where's the flaw? You know, the flaw in Hulk always was Hulk is temporary. Hulk very much rages out, even though he typically falls in line whatever Bruce's better nature is. Mm-hmm. There is always a part of him that can come out and destroy things. As Hulk says, you know, last time he was in New York, he broke Harlem, all those sorts of things. You know, I did like the fact that when Jennifer asked him, why did the lullaby by Natasha work? And he goes, well, kind of not really sure, because they never explain what happens there, which is great. They kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge, how they read comments by the fans. But we do get that. And we also got a quick sighting by who will be She-Hulk's nemesis, at least for season one, Titania, sir. Did you catch the actress who plays Titania?
No. Was that
Jamila Jamil, who you have now known as The Good Place, sir.
Yes. I'll be talking about Good Place here in a minute or two, but I did not recognize her as that. And I was looking. I watched it twice too, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. And my brain must be still on the actress in The Good Place.
I also caught the credits, so that helps.
Yeah. Oh man. What do you rate? What would you rate She-Hulk episode one?
Again, if we're giving it, I think we give it on our beardy scale. What do we got? The five. We haven't done beardies in a minute. Do we go to five or ten beardies?
Five.
We'll give it four. I'll give it four because the first episode wasn't bad. It was a real quick origin story. But what makes me really excited is if you look at who we will see this season, we're going to get Charlie Cox as Daredevil. We'll get more Bruce Banner and Hulk. We're going to get the Abomination. We're going to get our buddy Wong. The cast that are going to be, however they work it throughout the season, makes me really excited for She-Hulk. So I didn't like it quite as much as the first episode of Ms. Marvel, but still a really, really good show.
So, believe it or not, I am not going to give this five beardies.
What?
I'm going to give it a six. I'm actually going to agree with you. I'm going to give it four, but I guarantee you, the beardies will probably go to five by the end of this.
The first time we see Daredevil, it's an automatic five.
Right?
It's an automatic five. Okay. Yep.
Pretty
the first time she's got to talk with Tim Roth in that great accent, it's over.
Yeah.
And if we just get Wong another tuna melt, you know. Right. That is the unanswered question from Infinity War. Did Wong get his damn tuna melt? We got to know.
Right. We'll be doing a whole episode and we'll just be like, oh, what? our brains are gone! Scar took it out. All right, let's keep going on the streaming stuff. So we talked about She-Hulk. We're going to talk about something else here in a little bit, so let's kind of save that for later. There's a big show coming out today. I've been watching with my wife, Game of Thrones, and we are on season three, episode nine.
Okay.
Do you know why episode 3, 3, 9? What's so important about season three, episode nine?
You got to give me that. What is it?
The Red Wedding.
I almost guessed the Red Wedding.
So I stopped. So I'm like, all right, Kaylee, I want you to be awake for all of the Red Wedding so you can cry and be like, oh.
Well, here's the most important part of the Red Wedding. It proves, as does Eternals, prove that in all chances, in all worlds, in all universes, Rob Stark is not nearly as good as his brother. Okay, so yes, so the young lion got his paw snipped a little bit, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. What else in streaming have you been watching, old or new?
Sure. So a couple things is, first off, I caught up on the end of the most recent season of Evil. Fantastic show. I just love the show Evil. Again, if you're not watching it, I think it's winding down a little bit just because the episodes per season have gone down. It was 13 the first two. It was 10 this most recent one. But it really follows a group of assessors that are deployed by the Catholic Church to look at possession or any other acts of the divine or the demonic. He has Mike Coulter as a very broken and inquisitive priest who actually has been treated for sex addiction, because why not? Mm-hmm. Is there our buddy Wallace Shawn, which I don't know if you watched a recent episode of it. Wallace Shawn, who, if you don't know Wallace Shawn, if you ever seen The Princess Bride and you like this word, inconceivable, has a major role in season 3. Just it's an overall great show to be watching. It looks again about just how we as people function. Mm-hmm. And I believe next season, if there is a next season, we're going to get more introduction of angels, which seems really interesting. Nice. I also been watching one called Undeclared War. By the way, that is on Hulu. That is on Paramount. It's evil. And then also on Paramount is a show called Undeclared War, which is a... And what drew me to this is the star Simon Pegg. So again, as someone that loves Shaun of the Dead, I had to watch anything with Simon Pegg in it. But this is a dramatic role for him, and he is really good. So really good. So he's actually one of the heads of the British communications, and they did with a major, major hack that starts to shut down systems and all the things that how a country would handle being cyber hacked by another country, a la Russia. At least at this point in the series, there's still some of that in the debate, but look, it might be Russia. Very well done again. Just a great show. A little bit out of our sci-fi realm, very serious, but still really good. And last thing is my Way Back Throwback, which you can also stream if you love you some HBO Max. The Nevers, I can never say enough about The Nevers. So The Nevers is a great show, helmed by Joss Whedon. I hope we get a second season out of it. It really follows Victorian England, and the advent of individuals who have special powers. And one of those shows that had a really slow build and really slow reveal, which made it great. So if you've not watched The Nevers, a really, really great show about the touch and lots of action, lots of powers, and lots of really cool things. So those are my best things that I've seen streaming in the last week.
Cool. One of the things I'm going to add is The Good Place. I'm all finally on season 4.
Always.
And buddy, I got to tell you this. So here I am, and I've been watching, super enjoying The Good Place. If you haven't watched the show, don't be like me. What the heck are you waiting for? And I'm like, wait, Brian told me Death was in this. And I'm like, who is Death? And I'm watching a scene with Simone. And I'm like, oh my God, that's...
Her energy is so different, isn't it?
Yes.
It's the same woman. They do nothing major with her look. Her energy is just so different. You don't connect the two. Absolutely.
I had to be forcing myself to think about the character Death in The Sandman and who that was. And as I am watching her on the screen, I'm like, well, it's Simone. And you know what? The actress, I'm sorry, I should have wrote your name down. I'm horrible at writing names down. You're fantastic. You're great in The Good Place. You're even better in The Sandman. So I can't wait to see where you go. Get her into more things. I'm sure there's a superhero role that we can find for you.
So, absolutely.
And I did see a new show called Echoes. I haven't watched it yet, but it's definitely on my radar. It's got Matt Boomer. And Matt Boomer, I love Matt Boomer. I mean, like, White Collar is one of my all-time favorite shows.
Yes.
The guy needs to be Superman or Batman. He needs to be Bruce Wayne.
So I see him as the Joker. I see more Joker and a little more of that kind of that brokenness. I can see a lot of that in there.
I can see that. I mean, he's in Doom Patrol, but I mean, he's the invisible guy. In Doom Patrol,
right. When you're that good looking, that's when you're the invisible man. Yeah.
Right.
And by the way, just on a quick tangent, think about just how quality of HBO, those USA shows were. You had, we mentioned before, Psych, Suits, White Collar,
Covert Affairs, Monk.
In Plain Sight, which is one of my favorite ones.
Yes,
So many of them. And the sad thing is, the one show that I never got into, I really thought was tailor-made for me, was Mr. Robot. Like, I just couldn't get into Mr. Robot. The others I love so much.
You know, you're not going to believe this. Me too.
There we go.
I forced myself to watch the first, like, 5 or 6 episodes. I kept waiting for it to, like...
Sure.
But after, like, 3 or 4 episodes, I figured it out. And I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
I'll pass.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I love me some Rami Malek, but, you know,
yeah.
Is it Moloch or is it Malik? Or
I think it's Moloch. I really think it is Moloch. By the way, if you're going to give me Christian Slater, he better be a damn vampire. That's all I'm saying.
Right? I agree. All right. So other than, or do we miss anything? And we hit Disney, we hit Netflix, we hit Hulu, we hit Prime, yep. Paramount, HBO. All right, let's go to some movies. I know I went and saw The Fall.
How was that?
So it was horribly good.
That's a ringing endorsement. It's horribly good.
Yeah, so, and I'll explain.
That's what people want to hear about. It. What kind of a dad am I? Oh, I'm horrible. You're horribly good.
Yeah.
You're a horribly good father, Bradley.
The writing was bad. Like, okay. The story was bad. The acting was great. The two main characters were great. They had Negan from Walking Dead in it. Yep. Not in a huge role. But the two main characters, absolutely fantastic. But like as it's going, like there was a twist in there. I won't say what happens that I didn't see coming. But everything else I did, okay. You know, like I was calling him. I'm reserved, but it was shot beautifully. Okay. Like I mean, it effed with my with anxiety, fear of heights, and things like that. Sure, I mean, and so I mean, it got an emotional response out of a movie, which makes it in a class by itself. But the story was just like, okay, so dude dies, destroys your life, and you quit at life, you're drinking and all that, and 51 weeks later, you're still in the bars and all that, and then you're going to go climb this pole that's the fourth largest thing in America. No training, you're not going to take a week or two, I mean, you're just going to do it. And this is like, that's dumb. You know, like, I'm not going to talk to anybody. And your dad is Jeffrey Dean freaking Morgan. You know, I mean, like, if people are trying to help her. And it was really, really predictable.
And speaking of someone that does not get nearly enough quality roles as Jeffrey Dean Morgan, come on now.
Yeah. Right. I mean, and he's freaking Negan. I need to get caught up on Walking Dead.
All right, brother.
All right. Any movies that you want to talk about?
No new ones for me. Hopefully get back at the theater soon, but I got no new movies that I want to discuss.
Awesome. Well, let me know when you do. I know somebody at a theater. So.
I trust it. The only thing I will say from the streaming and the regular television standpoint is, and again, takes a little bit out of that difference, but talk about real-life superheroes. Again, a fun thing that you watch for the fantasy, the real-life superheroes, especially people that climb up tall things and don't always fall, which is American Ninja Warrior. I love that show so much. I grew up watching, again, you and I have done a show on professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. I had loved American Gladiators. This takes a lot of that, you know, overly clinically induced folks there, which folks that are just, you know, average size, folks that are just absolutely agile rock climbers. They can take them as young as 15 now that do things that just makes me feel like, when I look at, you know, I don't really feel like changing that light bulb. That makes me feel like a total loaf when you see me doing backflips off of, like, swinging ledges. But, again, something's really cool to watch with the family. Again, athletic competition, also really fun, which, again, is American Ninja Warrior.
Did you know that there is an animated Green Lantern Jon Stewart movie out now?
I heard of it. I have not watched it.
I have not either, and it's Green Arrow's on it too. I mean, that is my plan for next week. By next episode, I will have watched it. So anyway, before anything else besides movies and TV that you want to add to the What's Awesome report.
Well, as always, just getting to do this with you every week, my friend. I know that was not queued up for that one, but again. Yeah. Again, getting a little of my awesome with my tag team partner is always the best part of my week, man.
Well, I concur with you, man. I love doing this. We've been pretty much almost a year now. So
I mean, I think at this point we've been becoming a lot married at this point because we have like an appointment with each other every week.
Right.
So I think we're there. I think we're there.
I'm good at that, man. I'm totally good at that. Now, if you're in the Ankeny area this Thursday between 5 and 7, stop by B&B Theaters. I am holding my very first ever Uno tournament. Yes, what? I want to find out who's what? Number Uno. Yes, I have an Uno tournament. The grand prize is going to be an hour in the arcade and then two courtesy tickets.
Can you bring in-house rules?
Oh,
you bring in-house rules.
So you're gonna come in. It's free to enter. All you have to do is come,
okay.
And You're going to get a table. So every table is going to have four rounds.
Okay.
The first round is basic Uno, no fun rules.
Okay.
Round two is going to be a house rules where ones, if somebody plays a one, everybody switches hands one spot to whichever way it's going. If you play a seven, you get to swap hands with anybody on the table.
Oh, lovely.
Now, round three is... I came up with a B and B rule. I had a little bit of help. So, Supergirl, thank you very much. I wanted to get to shout you out tonight. She helped, and a bunch of other people from work was helping me out. But the B and B rule is anytime an eight is played, you could take one card out of your hand and put it in anybody else's hand.
Nice.
So... Nice. You could, if you put an Uno down, so if you go Uno with an eight, you could take your final card and give it away, and therefore win. Now,
done.
Round four, whoever has not won, so whoever's in last place in the round,
sure,
then you get to pick the rules for the final round.
I love it.
So once we get champions on all the tables, then we're going to combine all the champions.
I love it. I love it. Would these tournaments be ongoing? Because I see myself entering in the near future. Would these be regularly occurring tournaments?
As long as it does well, I hope so. I want to do some at least one a month. Sure. Is my plan. So
sure. Well, I may know a gentleman with that who will be wearing a Falcons hat going. You know, bring it. So yes, sir. Yes, awesome. Sir.
Other than that, I've been reading a bunch of comics.
We're gonna remake Color of Money instead of would it be in pool? Would it be in Uno cards? It's gonna happen, man.
Oh, dude,
it's gonna happen.
I like this idea. We should
only I'm Paul Newman and you're Tom Cruise. That's the only way that's working. That's the only way it works. Okay.
Yeah.
All absolutely. Right, bro.
Some comics. I'm gonna do a bunch of comic reviews because I've been really laxing on them lately. So I got a bunch of Wolverine, Nightwing, Darth Vader, Dr. Aphra, and Star Wars. I got to get caught up on. So make sure that that'll be hitting. I'm gonna try doing the YouTube Shorts and TikToks on those. A little bit of business. Check out my book. I know I push this a lot, but it's leveling up my awesome. It is fantastic. New stuff coming soon. Hopefully going to have another kids book coming out in the near future. Also, I want to start a couple more podcasts. We've been talking about doing one called Superish a while ago. I'm going to bring that back up. So I got some ideas for there that Brian and I are going to be talking about in the near future. And some other stuff. So how about we do a little bit of honest advertising brought to you by Brian S. Dennis.
Yes, sir. And as always, these are meant for fun. So advertisers, big companies, please don't sue us. Here we go. So this first honest ad is brought to us by La Croix. La Croix water. Are you looking for the crisp, clean taste of unspoiled water in the convenience of a can? We'd like to open your refrigerator and enjoy all the refreshment of drinking from a mountain stream. Do you, Bradley, want to enjoy drops of dew at the tips of your fingers? Well, ladies and gentlemen, La Croix isn't it. However, if you want to spend your hard-earned money on overly carbonated, under-flavored, stale backwash from a discount kissing booth, La Croix is your answer. Remember, La Croix is like a kissing booth without the cold sores.
I dig it, man. I dig it.
Please don't sue us. And there is more honest ads coming at you.
Yeah, actually, I skipped one. So you know what? Give us another one. Give us another one right now because I skipped the one from earlier.
Okay, here we go. This one is about a charcuterie board.
Ooh. Say that word again. I've never...
Charcuterie board.
Is that the right way to say it?
Is how I'm doing it.
Okay.
And for those that love your dark chocolate, listen up. Here we go again. Charcuterie board. That's right. All right. Here we go. We all know about that new, but let's talk about that old. The charcuterie board. In a charcuterie board, you have slices of bacon, ham, sauces, cheeses, breads, fruits, vegetables, nuts, and spreads. Or as us non-woke folks say, snacks. But if you want to sound like an utter and complete prick, let's take all of this beautiful food, and instead of eating it on a plate, we're serving it on a big-ass piece of wood. If you've been living under a rock, we're homeschooled, or just forgot middle school, get in your Tesla, drop a load of Bitcoin on a charcuterie board, also known as the Lunchable for D-bags.
Oh, I love that. I mean, that is my favorite one yet. That is
charcuterie
my absolute favorite.
Board. Yes, sir.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Brian.
Yes, sir.
What are we preventing today? What are we preventing?
All right. We're just going to dive a little bit into one of the more popular shows on Netflix. It's one that you and I both really enjoy, which is Lock and Key. So we're going to talk a little bit about Lock and Key. This finished up its third and apparently final season on Netflix. Again, a really, really good show that just proves that, you know what, it's okay to have, you know, a childhood trauma as long as there's magic in the world. So we're going to delve a little bit into Lock with an E and Key.
Awesome. So before we get into that, I'm only two episodes in, so but spoilers, I don't care. You're good to go, buddy. So a couple things. Now, Brian, before you tell us all about the show, what's your favorite key?
I knew you were going to say that. So I won't get into some of the keys they have later just for the trying to avoid some spoilers.
Okay.
There are quite a few keys they divulged into this season. Mm-hmm. But my favorite key has got to be I really like the head key, which is the one that gives you ability to look in, to go inside your own head or the head of someone else, look at memories. That is a major point in this season, is the head key. That one or the anywhere key, but I think the head key is probably my favorite one. That did that ability to go in, see your memory, see aspects of your personality, and actually interact with those aspects. Again, shocking folks, I actually have a degree in counseling, so I think getting into how we all function in our heads is really, really interesting. So I love the head key. So you beat me to the question. I was going to ask you, Bradley, what is your favorite key?
The head key. I just love what's same, man. Same. I think it's the head key kind of defines the show, right? I mean, like a lot of other ones have like different super, you know, powers and stuff like
so
that.
Much.
But the head key is that is kind of that's good job, Joe Hill. So
yeah. And the head key is used, especially this season, as a major plot device for a lot of different things. It throughout the seasons, it's probably the one that's been most consistently used in the three seasons. You have other keys that'll show up, like the Hercules key, like the Crown key. But I would say the Anywhere key, the head key, and maybe a little bit the Ghost key are probably the ones that you see most used and talked about. That torch key, which I don't believe is what it's actually called, but a key that gives you fire, to quote our buddies Beavis and Butthead, are really out there. So, yeah, the head key is kind of my favorite one of them all. Plus, just a key with a head on it. I just think that's just kind of cool. So, with that being said, so just a real quick backstory. For those that have not watched Lock and Key, there definitely will be a few spoilers in here. But we'll try and tread lightly again because it's a great show. We want folks to watch if you've not seen it. So Lock and Key follows the family known as the Locke. So L-O-C-K-E is her last name. And it starts off like all great family shows do with the death of a parent. Disney has taught us well.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, that's a running thing. You can't have, and also another thing that we've learned from Disney and so many other things, if you have the loss of a parent, you have to have magic. But I'll let Miss Leia do her cameo. Hi, Leia.
Hi, Leia. Okay, we're talking about Lock and Key, kiddo.
What's right. Lock Key?
It's a show that we can watch later.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you.
Like my elbow.
Okay, the dog is licking her elbow. I think Ollie might need to go outside. Can you take him outside?
Okay, then I can write that down.
Okay, all right.
Yeah!
Go potty.
Wow, I love your daughter to death, but you may want to explain to her when your mouth is about 2 inches from a microphone. Yes. Yeah. I can hear you. All right. So we have the family of the Locks, who again, we have the Lock family, which has three kids, Tyler, Kinsey, and Bodie. I'll give my opinions on one of them in a moment.
Go ahead, buddy.
Who visit their father's ancestral home known as Key House. Get it? Lock and Key. See? And that's a theme. After this is a spoiler, after the death of their father, Rendell. By the way, if your name is Rendell, I don't
maybe it's a main thing. I don't know. Maybe.
But at this point, I knew this book and these series were not written by brothers. Like, Rendell? Like, if it was Rendell, maybe, but Rendell, you lost me a little bit. Like, right. Like there needs to be like a hyphen over the E or a silent Q or something, but
yeah.
Nah. Like, Rendell, like, that's my cousin, but Rendell, not so much. All right. Anyway, we got to get too into the weeds. We learned very quickly in the show that there's this little thing called magic, and magic is represented by several keys. So the keys whisper. And by whispering, I mean they whisper. So they reach out, and different people can hear the keys. And when you find the key does different things based really on the insignia on the key. So some keys have a head, which is the head key. The anywhere key. All the keys allow you to do different things, but we also learn one very important thing about magic. Magic is really only can be observed and most importantly remembered by kids. So when people like the mom are exposed to magic, after they remove themselves from that magical situation, they soon forget. So like any great show that has, again, all the heroes, very similar to Harry Potter, got the kids running around learning about magic and these magical keys, you also get the introduction of the villains. And do we have villains that are other kids trying to find magic? No. Are the villains like the really stuffy teachers? No. Who are the villains? They're satanic demons. Because again, nothing says family friendly like demons who devour your very soul for you to burn in hell for all time. So again, this is the most family friendly show on Netflix.
The Bad Place.
Yes. But no matter how mad this may sound, remember one thing. As always, it ain't Herogasm. Now, from there, you get three seasons of adventure and madcap mischief. Some people live, some people die. We get a lot of backstory. Lots of conflict. I got to give Lock and Key this. It's got lots of layers on the show. A lot of people trying to figure if it really is for kids. It has some really heavy things. It legitimately does. It does not shy away from violence at times. And yes, it gets overall heavy things. I feel the trauma of having lost a parent. But it is one of those shows that, and how's Leia, Brad?
She's 10.
You know, if you've got a kid 10 to 12, probably is going to be okay.
Yeah.
Probably going to be okay. They're much younger than 10, maybe a little heavy, because they do talk about death a lot in the show, and they definitely experience a loss of cast members as part of the show. But really, really, really is an overall really good show. So, Bradley, really quick. So, Uncle Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
So Uncle Duncan is actually, the actor that plays Uncle Duncan, he's actually a twin. Mm-hmm. His twin brother is actually the actor who plays Lamplighter in The Boys.
Sean?
Sean Ashmore plays Lamplighter in The Boys.
Huh. Oh, okay, yeah, he was also Bobby Drake in X-Men.
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
Yes, he was. So just as, just to draw in those folks that we really like and really enjoy in the show. So I always think it's really cool when we get the because this is Aaron Ashmore.
Yeah.
Versus, which I had to thought it was Sean because, again, identical twins and look alike.
Right.
And I go, wait, I'm one of those weird people that read credit. Like, wait, Aaron? And I did a quick Google. Oh, it's Sean's identical brother. There you go. Bradley, real quick before I turn this over to you, there's another very, very famous show that we both liked growing up in the 90s by Joss Whedon that had a cast member that was an identical twin. Do you happen to know what show I'm referring to? Joss Whedon had an identical twin.
Firefly?
No, Buffy.
Buffy who's?
Well, Nicholas Brendon, who plays Xander.
Oh.
He has an identical twin who actually would fill in some of the scenes. So that's
pretty cool.
That's just a little Buffyverse trivia for you, that his brother often had multiple uncredited scenes in Buffy where he would fill in for his brother, like if his brother was filming something else, I think a couple times his brother was sick, that his twin would come in and fill in because, you know, who could tell the difference, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's kind of a quick overview of Lock and Key. Brad, what is your some of your thoughts and things you want to talk about with Lock and Key?
Lock and Key, I like I said, I'm only two episodes in on season three, so I won't talk a lot about season three. However, season one and season two are probably one of my favorite Netflix shows.
Yes.
Especially shows that I can watch with my kids up.
Yep, yep.
You know, I mean, they don't have to be paying attention, and I don't have to worry about, you know, the boob shots from like a right. Game of Thrones or something right. like that. I can right. actually just enjoy it. That's what I like a lot about The Good Place.
Yep.
Because there aren't a lot of those shows out there. And so I do applaud.
When especially with streaming, because you remove a lot of those restrictions mm-hmm. with streaming right. shows. Do you have a favorite character?
Yes. The sister. Kinsey.
Yes.
Yes. She is fantastic.
Yep.
She has, you know, Bodhi is that the kid that I'll tell you, I will give Bodhi. He's gotten better every season.
I hate to ruin. Okay. This is just Brian's opinion. I agree with you through seasons one and two. He annoys me so bad in season three.
Okay.
He annoys me so bad in season three. And I think in the next episode, or maybe the one after either episode three or four, you'll see why. It's something he does very specifically in the show. He does either episode three or four, so you're about to get there. After you get through it, I'm going to ask you if it annoyed you as much as it just annoyed the hair off my head. I'm like, kid, really? So, yes. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I bet you'll be getting a text from me in the next couple of days.
That... Perfect. Perfect.
Now, Brian, I also went and I found a couple of fun facts about Lock and Key I wanted to bring up. So the comic Lock and Key, because this is based on a comic, ran from February 20th of 2008 to January 4th of 2017. Nice. And that is a long run for a comic. Long. I mean,
yeah, and a continuous run. That's a very long run.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, I think I'm going to start collecting them. I think I'm going to start looking for them. So, also, and I know we've talked about before, but Joe Hill, the writer, mm-hmm. is the son of Stephen King.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you can tell. you can absolutely tell.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, also, there was a previous pilot for Lock and Key, and it was even screened in San Diego Comic-Con in 2017, but ultimately was never picked up.
Mm.
Also, the very same year, 2017... Hulu ordered its own pilot of Lock and Key.
Nice.
However, just like Matthew McConaughey, failed to launch.
I was going to say you got lost in 10 days. But whatever works for you.
So, with that being said, Brian, I know this is the final season of Lock and Key.
Yes.
Do you wish there was more?
Actually, it ends really well. It ends the way it should. They also leave it open. I mean, with all the everything they've said, that it will not be a fourth season. But like every great show, they definitely left it where if there was to be in another season, they could do it. This one again, this one picks up right after the end of season two, and so you get a lot of the background of the keys, a lot of the background of the void on the other side of the Omega door or the Black Gate. All these things that really are important. And I will say this season, I think, has the best villain. I think this season's big bad is the best one. Again, Dodge, it has been, spoiler alert, Dodge was really good in seasons one and two, but really in season three with Gideon, and I mean, those names are definitely in quotation marks, is really excellent. It's played by the same actor who played the Blob in Wolverine Origins and really has such a sinister way of just saying good morning to you.
Yeah.
It's hard to find a bad guy that's not cool anymore. It's really hard to be a true villain without people going, you know, that's kind of cool though, right? Come on, who doesn't love Voldemort? Who doesn't love Vader, right?
Right, right.
So it's really hard to be a really cool bad guy without being popular. This person pulls off, very much like Dolores Umbridge, pulls off bad villain, bad guy, bad woman, bad person. in a way that you honestly just want to see them lose. Mm-hmm. And that, and it does a very good job of that.
Awesome. All right. Other than that, Brian, you have anything else you want to say about Lock and Key?
As always, just check it out. Get three great seasons. Really done well. I got to say, they speak a lot about, again, very heavy topics, namely alcoholism, in such a wonderful, sensitive, great way for people to really, again, while it's a kids show, it is definitely primarily family friendly. So if you got any preteens or teenagers, everything that should be able for them to handle. But it talks about those heavy issues in a great way. And again, shows you how families rebound around those traumas, those struggles.
Yeah.
But I think it's something that we all need more. It's not Full House. They don't solve their problems in 20 minutes. But it definitely shows how the family pulls together, which I really, really like.
Awesome. All right. So now for verse one, we're going to do something a little bit different. So we're going to sit here. We're going to kind of discuss, what do we want to bring to the table for verse mode? Do you want to go actor versus actor, or filmography against filmography? You want to do movie versus movie, character versus character? And then we want to open this up for anybody watching or listening to let us know, what do you think? What do you think is the better movie? Who do you think is the better character? And we would kind of wanted to do this just a little bit different way, just to kind of bring you more into the show. So, Brian, any ideas, sir?
For me personally, I think the two things, because I think there's a couple. I would love to go filmography versus filmography.
Okay.
And play with that a couple of different ways. Like put like an actor's worst movie against another actor's worst movie. I think would be really good. Like Sean Penn put up, you know, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, you know, against, I'm trying to think, Samuel Jackson, again, because L stands for, while I don't think this was a bad movie, he has such a small role in it, like Coming to America, you know, like something like that. Things like that. And of course, just going actor versus actor, actor versus actress, I think are just really, really good things to do. And if you want to do actual character v character, I think those are cool. But I think where we really need some input from our audience is give us a spin on it. You know, it's really easy for us to go, you know, Voldemort versus Gandalf. Mm-hmm. And who will win in that one? Gandalf. But give us a spin, like give us some rules. You know, what would happen if, you know, Gandalf the Grey versus Gandalf the White, you know, Tom Riddle versus Voldemort, what have you, you know, who would Hermione really choose? Harry versus Ron Weasley. Guess what? No one's choosing the ginger. Okay. So all those things, I think, would just be great for us for our versus modes.
You know, I mean, I think the first one, well, let's just throw this out there. Let's just do straight up filmography, because this is actually an episode I think I want to do completely. I want to do Nick Cage versus John Travolta, and I want to go all in on versus.
Are you saying you want to be a face?
Oh. Yes, I really do.
Yes.
So let's hear it from you. What is the best and the worst movie from Nicolas Cage, and what's the best and the worst movie from John Travolta? And let's start there, because both of them are amazing actors. I actually just watched Grease the other day.
Okay.
And I tell you what, man, it's kind of rapey.
Kinda?
Oh my God. It had been several years since I've watched it, but kinda? I'm like, wait, so Sandy gets assaulted by kinda? John Travolta in a car? And he's the one that's hurt?
Kind of. Not to mention all the messes. Okay, this is two things who are... Excuse me. This moment of mansplaining is brought to you by Bradley Butan and Brian S. Dennis, where the S stands for mansplaining. Right. The fact that the entire thing in the movie is Sandy changed her entire being to be with John Travolta. It's like, wait, what? What? Yeah. Okay. The messages, right? Okay. So, Bradley, have you heard the alternative thought process, the alternative summary of Grease? That is actually Sandy actually dies. And what we're seeing is Sandy's fantasy as she's entering the afterlife. That's why the car flies off at the end of it. Is actually Sandy with a fictional representation of Danny going off into the afterlife. So that's why the car can fly at the end of the musical. So
I mean, I'm for that, especially because like we could pretend Grease 2 didn't happen then, you know.
Ahmed Zappa. I mean, no, I'm Ahmed Zappa. Oh, I'm sorry, Ahmed. But that one was just Olivia Newton-John. I was just, by the way, RIP. I think we just lost her the other day. Yeah. It was just, you know, but again, it also shows that nothing comes good. You know, we talked before about, you know, if you make a trilogy, you stop at two. Mm-hmm. Generally, if you go by three names, probably not a good idea. Yeah. Probably not a good idea. By the way, for our fans that are writing in, got to give us some comments. I'll have to do some thinking on the worst Nick Cage, the worst Travolta one. I give you one guess. Come on, Bradley. You got to know what the worst Travolta movie is.
The worst Travolta movie? Man, I can't even think of Travolta movies right now off the top of my head. Well, you know what? I can't even guess. I know my favorite Travolta movie is The General's Daughter.
So good. So good. Not quite my favorite, definitely up there.
Yeah.
I got to go, you know, you got to go, for me, it's got to be Battlefield Earth.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep. You know. There it is. There's the worst one right there.
Hey, excuse me. By the way, for Battlefield Earth, LRH. So if you don't know LRH, Google it. But... I don't want a Scientologist coming after us. You know, my Thetan levels are good. Okay.
Blink twice if you're in danger.
Or if you don't have the ability to blink, just be still. Yes. By the way, Leah Remini, feel free to join the show anytime. All right. And if you don't know Leah Remini and the LRs and Scientology things, Google it. All right.
Yeah.
By the way, that's who Zach Morris should have wound up with. I love Mr. Timberland and Amber Thiessen, but come on now. Leah Remini, back in the day, there was no comparison.
I love her in White Collar. She was like one of the best parts of that show.
Yes.
And like she wasn't huge in it, but man, like that cast. It's very, very like psyche, I guess, because the kind of the cast is really close. Yeah. But you could just tell that the main characters were actually friends in that show.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
Oh, and what was the guy with the glass? I think he died not long ago. Willie something.
Yeah.
Willie Game. Is it Games?
Oh, shoot. Hang on.
But anyway, RIP for sure. Man, White Collar, great show.
Yep. By the way, I want to give Willie Garson. There it is. All right. By the way, I want to give again, let's talk about Leah Remini just from, by the way, Leah, just from Brian to you. Anytime you want to come on the show, you have a blanket invitation. Mm-hmm. Now, you can get rid of Brad. It can just the Brian Leah Power Hour. We can make it happen.
I mean, I'm good at that. But,
I really want to thank her for doing King of Queens with Kevin James. Going to give every chubby brother in the world hope. Yes, like, you know what? Maybe, you know, if I had wore a backwards baseball cap and worked for FedEx, I don't think they ever called it that.
Right.
But, or UPS, but a delivery service to be named later. Like, sure, you know. Up. Yeah. And your father-in-law is Ben Stiller's dad. Come on now. Right. Who doesn't want that life? By the way, RIP to Jerry Stiller. So, yeah. So, anyway, so folks, let us know how you want to roll. But, Bradley, what to you is we talk about worst. So, you said General's Daughter is your favorite Travolta. Mm-hmm. For me, it's absolutely Pulp Fiction. Absolutely Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
That may be a little unfair calling that a Travolta movie because that really is a Samuel Jackson. That's like our third or fourth one with him, what else stands for? I gotta say, if I had to go for real, like Travolta favorite, and I know we're gonna break this down more. I don't know if it's the General's Daughter. It might be. It's a toss up between Basic and just for the feels, Phenomenon. There was something about him in Phenomenon with Kira Sedgwick that I just found endearing.
Another one that doesn't get enough love for Travolta is the If Looks Could Kill.
Yes.
He was a badass bald dude. All right? Yes. I mean, like, he pulled that off very nicely.
I'm going to rescind my favorite because I don't know how I forgot this. My favorite Travolta movie, which I sometimes call it a Denzel movie, but I like my Travolta to be a villain. I like my Travolta tatted up. I like my Travolta to just be one of those unhinged dudes who hung out with the British butt model in the North Pole with the sled dogs. That is the taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3. That movie is just from beginning to end, just the way, I mean, I just loved his character, and the way him and Denzel interacted in that movie was done. John Turturro does an incredibly great cast. But I loved him so much in that movie.
Yeah, that is a good one. All right, so let's go ahead and we're going to put a little pin in it now.
Yes, sir.
Brian, where can the world get a hold of you?
1 sec. I have one more honest ad if we have time.
Absolutely, we do. Bring it.
All right. So my final honest advertisement is for Uber. Here we go. Don't talk to strangers. Look both ways and always wear clean underwear. This is sage advice from a bygone era. None of that matters now that we have Uber. Don't talk to strangers. Just get in their car. Why look both ways? You have a poorly paid, partially educated LaCroix drinker that can do that for you. And what's clean underwear when we have day-old charcuterie and free phone chargers? Live life on the edge and entrust your health and safety to a dude named Connor who wears Hey Dudes and thinks Post Malone keeps it real. Uber, when a snowflake just cannot wait to get human trafficked.
So I know I told you the last one was my favorite. That's my favorite. You won tonight. You were able to bring in all your other honest ads into this. Well done.
That's what we do, sir. What we do.
Well done. Great job, sir.
And Uber, again, these just jokes. Don't sue us.
Your hint should be me laughing.
If there's every weekend I'm not here, it's like Brian S. Diz with S stands for litigation. Like, well, I was just playing, Your Honor. I was just playing. Yes, sir.
I mean, in all reality, that stands for sarcasm, you know. Yeah. All right, Brian, where can we get a hold of you, sir?
All right, I'm all out of cocktails, so here's where you can find me. You can find me on Facebook, Brian Stephen Dennis. Feel free to give me a friend request, give me a follow, like my post. I'll try and keep it funny, entertaining. So if you think I'm good on the podcast, just check me out on Facebook as well.
Awesome. And with that being said, don't forget to like and share and do all of that fun stuff. You can tweet at me at Fandemic3, message me on Facebook as The Fandemic, now active on TikTok at The Fandemic 1. I'm going to have some stuff on there this week for you. Hear my reviews and so much more. Now, if you want to support the show, there are several ways to do so. You can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/thefandemic. You can also become a monthly supporter like Stacy did at anchor.fm/PVOTN. You can go to PayPal or Venmo at Bradley Butin, or just share the show with someone you want to make a little more awesome. Now, don't forget to leave a 5-star review and don't forget to go to Amazon and buy my book,
Leveling Up My Awesome. And we love it.
Brian, I think we have hit max levels of awesome for the week. Actually, maybe we haven't.
But wait, there may be more.
There may be more, which means there's going to be more. We're going to talk about
House. We have nothing else in our lives but this show. Come on now.
Right. We're going to talk about House. Yeah, all right. Come on. Let's end the week, like we always do, on a positive note. What are your words of wisdom, sir?
As always, I want to thank you for leveling up your awesome with us. Remember, here at Revenge of the Nerds, never retreat, never surrender, and again, Goonies, never say die.
We're all playing the same game in life, just on different levels. Thanks for catching up. You're welcome for leveling up your awesomeness. Live free or die empty. Have a great night. We'll be back in a couple of hours to talk about House of Dragons.